flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AmTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AmTheFan. We love you. We appreciate you on this wonderful, wonderful Jack's Watch Tuesday. Doesn't feel like a Tuesday. Probably because you didn't say Tuesday to start the show.
I never say Tuesday.
You do a weird
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Oh, see, I got the wrong emphasis now.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, it's a great Tuesday. Sun is shining. Apparently, it's going to be cold as balls this next week.
I'm tired of scraping my windshield every day morning.
My car's been frozen basically every day for the last week.
Yeah, that's fine, though. Like, look outside. Like, you have blue skies.
It looks nice. It's surprising, but then the wind blows and you go, like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very Irish sound.
That's the way that it should feel in January when the wind blows.
Not when the sun... You know, it's very reminiscent of when I was in North Dakota.
People will complain about the weather no matter what.
It's super weird when it's, like, very nice. Like, again, North Dakota, it's super nice looking outside, but it's 20 below zero. And you're like, this doesn't compute. I can see sun and sky.
It's not here, though.
Oh, I know. Well, no, there's this thing out there called sun dogs, where the reflection of like the crystals of in the air makes it look like there's three suns in the sky.
Yeah,
it's truly trippy.
Well, I'm here to tell you right now, it's 50 degrees and sunny in January.
That's not bad.
Like, this is not anything to complain about at all. And then people complain when it rains. Guess what? It's Oregon. It rains. Appreciate what we have right now, which is bitterly cold in the mornings and evenings. Real nice right about now. It's real nice, Clark. Real nice. All right.
I'm trying to think. What are we looking at for our lows here? And
coming up?
Yeah. Were we?
Well,
are
I
we
mean,
in
it,
for
it might snow
are we
on
down
Tuesday.
In the 20s?
Whoa! A week from today, we
did
may
you say
have
the
snow.
Word?
Yeah. Well, I've seen it.
Snowpocalypse.
Yeah.
Snowpocalypse. No. All right, baby.
It's a high of 40. We're not gonna like not that. So,
well, I mean, if anything sticks remotely, I can't leave Newburgh.
Well, that's usually how people act around here. And you know what? If you don't feel comfortable driving, don't. Please don't.
Please don't.
Please just
For
don't.
Oh, God, stay home.
Don't.
Reminds me of those days when I was the one person that could make it into the station in my front-wheel drive PT Cruiser. It's like, really? I'm the only one that can make it here?
Ford Focus. My sand wedge and a road flare got me out of the big ice storm of 2008. Nine?
Something like that.
2009? Yep. Used a sand wedge and a road flare. Got myself unstuck and back on the road.
You don't carry around the bag of kitty litter?
No. I was like poor and young and stupid.
I'm being sarcastic.
I do now. I actually do. I take de-icer, not kitty litter, de-icer.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, I have it. I have it in like a little tub in the winter, and it's just in the back sealed. And if I ever get in a pinch, put on it out there.
I get the little kit in the back of the car, the roadside survival kit.
You would have a survival kit. That's very fitting of you.
Well, I have a feeling Danny's is a little bit different than the rest of ours, though.
Yeah. Well, the mine has the little trough shovel.
Why do you have seasoning salt? What do you?
I was going to go lie.
What are you planning to eat? Me? What?
I was going to lie, but that works too. No, it has like the it has the de-icer kitty little like package of kitty litter material, so you can use that.
Yeah,
rope.
That's what you need.
You know,
that's what you need.
Things to. All right. Get your car out. Definitely not hide anything.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. I tell you what wasn't hiding, Jalen Hurts. He did not hide anything about his game and maybe looked the best that I've ever seen him look in a high leverage situation.
But this is like the thing about Jalen Hurts. They needed him the most and he stepped up. Although the entire week, right? Rust had that stat of what they were 0 for in playoff games when he's thrown for over 150 yards.
Yeah, I think the line of demarcation was 155.
Yeah. Well, he threw for 255, and he came up with big throws on schedule, on target. He was exceptional, man. And he was not the runner that we've come accustomed to seeing, but he didn't need to be. And he really played, I think, that game was called within themselves from an offensive standpoint with Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni coming in over the top. The execution was at an incredible level, and they were just the better team overall. I think that where we see the warts of Philly is when the games are tighter, right? It's not the 32-point win. It's coming down the stretch. Why are they changing their identity in a tight game and in a close game? You weren't there, though, in this one. I thought Washington just, look, Cinderella, it clock struck midnight, man. It was time. You had a great run. It shouldn't be seen as a letdown. It was just your time was up. The better team waxed you, like we've been saying. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Happened in the NFC Championship game.
It's an unfortunate place for it to happen, but it does not take away from their season, which we can talk about here.
Season was great. Their quarterback's going to be excellent, and the future is really, really bright.
The interesting thing about the Jalen Hurts thing was, and going back and looking at the drive summary, the very first play, obviously, 60-yarder, Saquon go. Second drive, it's Jalen Hurts pass, Jalen Hurts pass, Jalen Hurts pass, Gainwell run, Jalen Hurts pass.
Well, and that's what kind of what we talked about leading up, though, was with the way that Washington plays stylistically, when they run that nickel, that's why I said Bobby Wagner is going to have to be the dude for Washington in that game. Because the way that they play in their nickel, they can't go full send on the run game. Well, the reason why you saw Jalen Hurts pass, pass, pass is because after that first play, there was this realization of, OS, we can't play where we're most comfortable. And so Philly goes, all right, you want to play us this way? You want to load the box and take Saquon away? Fine, we'll pick you apart and go boom, 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 all the way down the field. That is, I thought that awareness and playing within themselves, like I was saying earlier, that was huge by Philly because it took Washington, that initial surge of, uh-oh, one play, Saquon touchdown, we have to change.
Yikes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Philly was ready to pounce on it, and they absolutely did.
On the flip side, where would you rank this in the successful years of rookie quarterbacks? Because I think it might be the year.
I mean, it's up there, but who knows? Like, I don't know. I mean, we saw, like, even Mark Sanchez have a very successful rookie year, goes and plays in the AFC Championship game, right? They didn't win the division that year. New England won the division, but he had a good year, and people were like, ah, squint, you could see it. Jaden Daniels is different.
Threw for 3,500 yards,
yep.
25 tutties, 9 picks, ran for 891.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
He's an athlete.
891 and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, that's who he
is. And that's getting, and he got sacked 47 times this year. It's not like he was kept clean all year.
Well, they take away your passing yards on.
Well,
on
I know. I'm not talking about rushing. I'm just saying, just in general, 47 sacks is not like he wasn't kept upright the whole year.
Yeah.
And he still produced at this level. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So, and he's what, 24? Mark Sanchez, it was his second year in the league. He threw for 3,200 yards. They went 11-5, went as a wild card, go to the AFC Championship game. And then we saw that, you know, he had a better year the next year in 2011. And then we saw steadily he went down. The thing is, you just don't know. Everything that Jaden Daniels profiles for is a guy that is going to be a very successful quarterback in the NFL. So many things around him could fall apart. You feel a lot better with Adam Peters being the GM, Dan Quinn as a head coach, and not Daniel Snyder as the owner of the team to say that they will be functional around Jaden Daniels moving forward. But does Cliff Kingsbury get finally that call to be a head coach at some point again?
And does he
take it? You know, like all of these things. But the core of what Jaden Daniels showed this year is that he's going to be a really damn good quarterback.
The interesting thing on the Kingsbury thing is it sounds like he's going to stay around. There's a realization of like, maybe it's...
Well, there maybe, is. He wants to be a head coach again, but at what point does that happen? Not this year, and that's great.
Exactly.
Just give him a couple years, and we're good.
And let him build up underneath that. Then he can, another coordinator comes in, but he can be like, but here's what we did under Kingsbury that I like that we can work with, and you can kind of bounce that stuff around.
Yeah. One thing that I really took from this game was a palpably unfair act is a thing. I think we should see it. Frankie Louvu?
Oh, yeah. No,
it was going over the center time and time again. By the way, Louvu, he's a bit of a cheap shot artist. He's pretty good at it. But we've seen in the playoffs, like, he got away with a couple of them. Like, he got one away with one against Tampa. And I was like, whoa, who? Louvu?
I wanted the Commanders.
And then you just see him just, like, keep going. Well, palpably unfair act. They could just give you a touchdown for it.
Yeah, it's all very dumb. We talked about that. The only time the rule has ever been enforced was 1954 in the Cotton Bowl between Rice and Alabama.
Because a player came off the sideline and tackled a guy running up the sideline for a surefire score.
Yeah. I mean... But was that not what they were doing? They were jumping offside saying, this is the way we're going to beat the Tush Push. We're going to keep going closer closer.
But also, the Eagles were also lining up without the intent of running a play.
I don't know about
that. Brother, they hard counted it six times in a row. They were not going to run that play. They were trying to get that call.
A palpably unfair act call?
Yes. After the second time, they 100%. Watch. You can see them under center calling it. They aren't going on seven.
Sure they are.
No.
They were just going to go and wait because what you want to do is wait for a guy to just jump offsides.
To lean and then go.
And then you go and then you snap the ball. They were going Superman over the top of the pile, which is where, and when they finally ran it was when a tackle jumped offsides and then they ran the play. That's what they were waiting for. They were going to run the play. It was just they Superman over the top, not going to run it then.
I want Louvu to keep doing it. It's like a tire of the Tush Push.
I just can't wait until we get it in the Super Bowl. Like, Patrick Mahomes gets roughed, and they're like, palpably unfair act. Touchdown.
Oh, God, watch the world end. Bring me the sweet meteor of death at that point in time.
Look, people are going to make those jokes about the Chiefs and stuff. That's the other thing is that Chiefs really damn good at football.
Turns out. Still find a way, which is probably where we should go next.
Yeah, they're really good.
Put a little bow on the Chiefs and Bills in the, fourth meeting between these two franchises in which Josh Allen seemingly can't get over the hump here on Danny and Dusty, Tim and the Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The inevitability of the Kansas City Chiefs was on display once again against the Buffalo Bills. And one of the things that came out of this, obviously you have not had your chance to talk about this game yet, but do you have to have an analysis of where the Bills currently stand? Because this is not a Commanders team that over-delivered on an early promise. This is a Bills team that has fallen short at the same place against the same team due to pretty much the same reasons yet again.
Yeah, it's really damn hard to beat a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be great to beat a dynasty on the road. They were good. Buffalo was good, and they were good enough. But I think like the injuries ended up rearing their ugly head again, whether it is, you know, Christian Benford goes down with the concussion, they lose, they head into the game without a safety that was, you know, Taylor Rapp was huge and instrumental to everything that they were doing in that first win over Kansas City. Well, they had problems capping and rallying and handing guys off in their zone coverage. So guess what happened? Patrick Mahomes was able to get a little bit live there. And Josh Allen isn't the reason why the Bills lost, and I think it's a bit ridiculous that people are chalking this up to being a Josh Allen problem. He fumbled 3 times. None of them were lost. Got to shore that up, but he played more than well enough to win that game. They had some head-scratching questions. Chasing points, I do not get that.
That early, because that hasn't been their MO.
No. Being aggressive absolutely was. Mm-hmm. But they chased points. And look, down the road in the second quarter when this is happening, they're chasing points. You're going, dude, there's so much time left. Like, do not go for two here just so you can get it to within a field goal. Turns out, hindsight, probably would have made a bit, little bit of a factor there, having those extra points. But also, that wasn't the reason why they lost. They are playing against a team in Kansas City that, if you make the mistake, if you give them an opportunity, they will take it. And this is where I said this last week, like the issue with the officiating, right, is that it's not that they get like so many more calls than anybody else does. It's what they do with those opportunities. They will kill you and they will rip your soul out. Josh Allen got a first down. I'm going to go hand up.
Yeah.
He got a first down.
The only people who don't agree are Chiefs fans. That's the dividing line. The rest of the known world is like, it's a first down. Hell, I thought the third down spot was awful.
But you know what?
But don't put yourself in that position.
That's not why the Bills lost. What did Kansas City do with it? It was a 5-play, 59-yard touchdown drive. They make you pay.
Mm-hmm.
They make you pay. They rip your soul out. And that's how they win these football games. Like, That's it right there. So it's not just the officiating. Like, great teams do this. Like, Tom Brady was always criticized for going too far and flopping and begging for penalties and all that stuff. That's what people do to great quarterbacks, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're seeing with Patrick Mahomes. Well, he's also making plays left and right. And their team is really damn good. And look, I think they're going to go and they're going to get a third straight Super Bowl now. I mean, good luck to the Eagles, but they're going up against an absolute buzzsaw. And if you want to get into a close game, who are you going to trust? I'm going to trust Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah, which quarterback are you going to go with? I mean, good quarterback coaching combination, it's staggeringly overwhelming for the Chiefs. But on the flip side...
Also, Dalton Kincaid. That was so tough, man.
Was it a tough play? Yes. Should he have made it? Yes.
1,000,000,000%. And look, that one's also a little bit on Josh Allen, too. Pre-snap and post-snap recognition.
The orbit.
You have got to be able to get that ball out and recognize it a little bit sooner. They dialed it up. It was a pressure they hadn't seen all game.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew it was coming.
The second he flips his hips, the pass of Shakir's out, though. The second that pressure gets there, if you want to say that he should have recognized it, okay. Sure, because he's that level of quarterback.
He should have.
Yeah, he's that level of quarterback. But the second that guard doesn't chip back and there's two in that B gap, he can't make the throw.
Nope, but he made a good enough throw to Dalton Kincaid. Mm-hmm. Should have made a play.
Probably
on
should have made a play.
Yep. No, he should have made a play on that ball. I mean, that's one where the ball's up in the air.
It's fluttering a little bit.
It's fluttering. You got to be able to get back and get your hands underneath that. I mean, like, he did. He was in position, just couldn't come through with it. Yeah. Like, and that's where it's like, and if that is a third down in the second quarter, you go, that's just a tough football play. But that's where it turns into the situation of the game, where it's at. It's, you have to make that play, and Kansas City makes that play every damn time. That's why they're so good. It's not just Mahomes who does it. It's Travis Kelce. It's Xavier Worthy. And look, George Karlaftis, like, he had a play on a little screen that they threw to the outside where Karlaftis is playing on the edge, and Buffalo blocked it perfectly. But he comes out of nowhere and just trips the guy up barely. Had that not happened, boom, six, gone, touchdown. Kansas City makes the plays.
Mm-hmm.
They're well coached.
They have
a really good roster.
The interesting thing about making the plays, you know who didn't make the plays for the Chiefs at all in this game? Travis Kelce.
Didn't need him to.
He was taken out of the game, and they found a way. Xavier Worthy was the guy for them. And I still contend that wasn't a catch, but whatever.
Hey, Chiefs guy must have been mad at you yesterday.
He was mostly cool. I don't think he's mostly cool. I think Chiefs honk was mostly quiet just because Chiefs won.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's right.
Hey, look, the victors get to write the story.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But it's not just one thing that's like causing the Bills to fall short in these games. It's just these little micro things. It's one screw loose that causes the panel on the plane to fall off. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the plane's broken. It's somebody didn't do their job to the perfect level.
I think that's where you need to start looking at
McDermott.
Is McDermott the guy that should be leading this franchise moving forward?
Because he's had multiple opportunities, and they've made defensive changes, they made offensive changes, they've tweaked things around the edges. I think him and Zach Taylor yesterday, I kind of had them in the same boat. Now, the changes the Bengals have made have been on the defensive side, getting rid of Anarumo, but that was before that. Their defense was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both kind of in the same boat with having the second and third best quarterbacks in the NFL.
And it was just injuries. Like, this year with Buffalo, for them to be in the AFC Championship game, I think at the end of the year, we're like, oh, yeah, we all expect that, right? Buffalo, Josh Allen in the window. At the beginning of the year, we weren't talking about this Buffalo team like that, especially after Matt Milano got injured early in the year and how significantly.
They ejecto cito Stephon Diggs.
And it was like, hey, this can be a year where they can build and work through some stuff and the expectations aren't going to be sky high. Next year, they will be.
And then they went and like, hey, you know, this whole like complimentary football thing is really good for us.
Yep.
And they smacked teams.
They rebuilt their back end of their defense this year heading in. It was like they had some questions. They did a really good job with that. But how do you get over the hump? That's going to be the biggest question. And look, if I knew, I'd be getting paid a lot more, and I wouldn't be talking on this radio station because I'd be fixing NFL teams left and right. They have every piece that you need to win. The concern, Von Miller, not going to be getting any younger.
No.
This roster is
in, it's older.
It's in a going to be in flux moving forward. How quickly can they supplement the guys they do have, and how long can those other guys hold on?
Can they pray a Bosa falls free and they can get one for cheap?
Dude, you know, if you have a Bosa getting hurt in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, he will literally break when it freezes in Buffalo.
I'm saying, but you play him 300 downs like the Bills did with Von Miller.
Von Miller, and you know what we're going to do? We're gonna let you not play. Well, then he'd be hurt 150 of those snaps.
You know,
it's kind of where it was.
I'm saying, you know, you find one of those and maybe you can get it done. That's what you're hoping and praying right now. All right, coming next, we're going to visit the world of college football. We haven't really delved into that in a little while. Ooh. Because the NFL's been pushing so hard. Some coaching hires that maybe go, huh? But here's this for that. But first, here's the big Canoe Sports and Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time to enter the daily for the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 1080 The Fan or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. What do you get out of this? The winner of the national contest will receive travel accommodation for four. That's a winner and three guests to Las Vegas.
Oh, hey.
And $20,000 in spending money. That's $5,000 for each of you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Come back each day and listen for another hour to add another chance to win. Keep listening for more info or go to 1080thefan.com.
You're going
to
listen anyways. Why not maybe get a trip to Vegas?
And some cash.
Yeah, just listen for... Well, all days.
Cold, hard cash.
That's right.
It's a good place to be.
Hey, this just came in.
Oh.
Reddit College Football said, as part of the documents where the government freezes have happened, Air Force's athletic department has had their funds frozen. Army and Navy have not, apparently.
Well, there was literally just announced there was a stay on the federal freeze.
Oh, okay, good.
So that was like 5 minutes ago.
So, all right. So Air Force Athletics, back.
We're back, baby.
Short pause, but back.
We'll see.
Yeah. They would have had their budget allocation been $0 for this year. That would be a tough one.
Yeah, Air Force, we get more money per capita than anybody on any of their armed services because our service is small and our stuff is expensive.
Yep, now your football team will be funded. I don't think they have a lot of NIL money going on there.
No,
you think
no.
Lockheed Martin?
No, I mean, look, Boeing. Look, if we wanted to, we could rule the world. Oh, that's cute. You've got oil money, and we've got defense budget money.
Yeah, doubt that. You're still going to have to find people that qualify academically to get in there.
Hey, Stanford did it.
Yeah. That'd be a hard... But also... You're going to have to get waivers for guys over 300 pounds. Yeah. Also going to be a problem.
Funny enough, when Dusty and I were on the field post-game for Army-Navy, looking around, I looked at him and I went, is it just me or are these guys our size? And the answer was yes.
They're small.
They're not large individuals.
Nope.
That's
why it's a different level of football.
It is. And that's why when they beat a team like Tulane, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, you have biggins. But speaking of college football... I don't know if this was as much of a surprise to you as it was to me, but Penn State pilfered Ohio State's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, actually was surprising.
I was like, I'm sorry, what? That seems like a step down. Now, he did get a handsome payday.
Well, he is now the highest paid defensive coordinator in all of college football. Jim Knowles, the man who kind of reinvented it and really revamped in his reinvention of this defense over the course of the last couple of seasons, he deserves a ton of credit. And everybody was gushing over, you know, Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka and Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Their defense was absolutely incredible all season long. They paid a lot of money for that defense. Make no bones about it. They don't make any bones about it. But after that Oregon game in October, they tweaked and recalibrated everything that they had going on that side of the field, and they were crucial to them not just winning the national title, but the emphatic way that they did it. And he is very highly respected, Jim Knowles is. Mm-hmm. He came from Oklahoma State up to Ohio State. Now he goes over to Penn State where, yeah, the payday, $9.3 million over 3 years. That's $3.1 million per year.
That's NFL coordinator money.
That is the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country in college mm-hmm. football. And this is where we're going to start seeing this now, is you're going to start seeing more and more of these coordinators be the guys who move instead of head coaches. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that head coaching buyouts
are bonkers.
They're way too punitive now. Coaches yeah,
what's
are also
Lanning's? His is absurd.
I don't know. I don't know.
There was a report of that when the Alabama job came open last year of like they may go for Lanning, and then it was like I want to say it was like $40 million.
No, it wasn't that much.
Wasn't it really high?
Kind of rings a bell though. It was like around there.
I think it was 40, but then it dropped significantly the next year.
Yeah, that is an absurd amount of money. But yeah, I mean Jimbo Fisher got bought out of his deal at $75 million. What you're going to see is head coaches. Also, there's this realization that jumping to the next job maybe isn't the greatest thing.
No, it takes time to build things up and to have the relationships with your NIL and your general manager and all of the things. Like if you're in a spot that where that makes sense.
People rail on the transfer portal, but they also need to realize that coaches are going to be more prone to stick around because if you go somewhere, you may have a bigger bag and pool of money, but if you're at a school that has a decent sized pool of money, or if that $20.5 million is indeed what is going to be the operating budget moving forward for all schools and it's all equal, maybe jumping isn't the best idea because guys can just leave at any turn now in college football. So the transfer portal is like, hey, I can build a little bit of consistency. If I'm a coach that in part my recruiting is why my program is good, and as I recruit better, I don't have a ton of attrition, and guys aren't leaving the program in and out, well, it doesn't behoove me to leave a spot. Now, if it's a revolving door and guys are coming in and out through the transfer portal just as quickly as they're coming in, they're leaving again, yeah, then that's going to be a bigger issue. But the stable and good programs across college football, I think what you're going to start seeing is what Penn State did, which was, let's go pilfer these assistant coaches, give them more money, and then all of a sudden, now we're in charge. Now we can cook with something here because your head coach is good enough in James Franklin. By the way, he's a very difficult person to work with and for. By every account.
Yeah, that's been something that's been...
But
no.
I think what we're going to find is a lot more coordinators bumping around instead of your head coaches leaving in mass like we've seen.
I mean, the thing that you point to there is Alabama with Nick Saban and the Nick Saban Rehabilitation Clinic.
Yep.
And what he did for, how many head coaches in college football right now? You look at the guys that are in the college football playoff or in SEC titles or in conference title games, like
yeah, his tentacles have been
everywhere.
It's
Lane, it's Kirby. Like you start looking at the list of guys that left Saban and
Lanning,
that left over a 10-year period. It's probably the 10 or 8 of the 10 best coaches in college football.
Yep, it's a pretty significant list, and it's a long
bonkers
one. But Jim Knowles getting that money to go to Penn State, that's big time. And he got a championship, and now he's going to a team that is a conference rival, going from Columbus to State College, Pennsylvania. Now, Oregon's assistant DC, associate defensive coordinator, and secondary coach, Chris Hampton, he has been rumored to be a name in that conversation for the Ohio State job. That's something for people to monitor out there. I saw the report. I think it was on 3 that was the first to report it. That Chris Hampton, and Hampton is the guy, he was the defense coordinator at Tulane when they beat USC in the Cotton Bowl. And he is regarded as a super bright football mind. And the secondary play, obviously a specialty. He is kind of one of the multifaceted brains in the brain trust of Lanning, Lapoy, Tuioti, and Hampton in that back end of the defense. They're really, really damn good coaches on the defense side of the ball for Oregon. But Chris Hampton, sights may be set on him from Ohio State to fill that DC vacancy. That'll be an interesting one though to see, because there's going to have no shortage of candidates at Ohio State.
It's an interesting spot. I the leaving Ohio State to go get paid it's very similar to Super Bowl teams when players win the Super Bowl and you go get paid. So it kind of makes sense. But
it's kind of weird that Ohio State's getting outbid.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with this. The two teams that were in the national title game, Ohio State and Notre Dame, have been pilfered recently as Notre Dame lost their defensive coordinator, their GM. So defensive coordinator obviously went to the NFL. The Bengals, their GM went to USC, and then I want to say their offensive coordinator was also linked with somebody else. Really, the only thing staying at Ohio State right now is Chip, because I believe their special teams coordinator was also somebody that was that moved around. I'm trying to remember right, it might have been one, of, might have been Notre Dame's special teams coordinator.
Notre Dame's having a lot of defections too. Their defensive coordinator's out. They're, well, everybody. Yeah, movement, player personnel,
offensive line,
all
coach.
Of them. Yeah, like everybody's moving.
It's really weird for a national title runner-up team
that's young
to have like this exodus. You're like, what's going on here? So, all right. Coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show with the Portland Trail Blazers taking on Damian Lillard in his second return here in just a matter of hours. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Part two. Damian Lillard returns to Moda Center to take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. It'll have less pomp and circumstance, but it's still going to mean something. Number one, it's because he's in the Eastern Conference, he doesn't come to the West all that often. It's once per year. Same with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it's going to be an interesting spot. The Blazers already got their one feel-good win against the Bucks. Remember earlier this year they did that? Dame was...
I'm out. I'm done with those.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a group chat where I've had a few other folks who are just like, you know, it'll be good to get this one. You know, sticking it to Miami would be fun. I'm like, they've already got no. Mm-mm. You picked up five wins early in the season that took away the opportunity for feel-good wins.
You know what would really stick it to Miami is landing Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, and becoming a dominant franchise.
And then in 2029, when you have an unrestricted first-round pick from Milwaukee and Damian Lillard's back to playing for the Portland Trailblazers on his victory lap
on
with Cooper
minimum.
Flagg, you land the number one overall pick from Milwaukee because they gave you an unprotected pick. And then you have, I don't know who's going to be good. I'm assuming...
Some eighth grader, or seventh grader, sixth grader.
Sixth grader?
I had to do the math real quick. Look, some sixth grader.
Like Derrick Rose's son.
Yeah. God.
Derrick Rose's son is really good. And you draft him. That's the way I'm feeling.
You are about to get an influx of sons in the NBA. Elijah Arenas, the Boozer twins.
Hell yeah. We have a little Hibachi.
Oh, Elijah. He might end up at USC. USC, Arizona.
Yeah, he should go to Arizona again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like his dad.
Yeah. I think they'd probably be like, nah, we're good.
No, you want mini Hibachi. Bring him.
The Ariza's kid, Melo's kid, Kyan. Like, it's, you are about to, this next class that's coming through is like nothing but NBA sons. It's kind of crazy, to be honest.
I would love to see Melo's son play here. And how you would just fight how he's not his dad. And well, how I mean, different he is.
Well, he's not his dad.
Yeah, I know. See, we're already starting it.
He's a four-star recruit.
Yeah. Melo's five.
Yeah.
Is he gonna still yell F out of here every time he grabs a board?
Well, no, his dad will from the stands.
There we go.
And infuriate Danny in front of him. He's like, God, we stop? That would make my heart so warm. Because you would love that. What's his name? What's Melo's kid's name?
Kyan.
Kyan, you'd be all on board with him.
Is that an R in my printer?
No, it's K-I-Y-A-N, Cyan.
You would be like, no, him.
I don't think he's... Well,
still don't like his
I
dad.
Don't think he's an NBA guy.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Not at all?
No, he will be because he's Carmelo Anthony's son. And,
dang.
But
you got a little bit of that brawny in him?
Not quite to that level, but yeah, I think he's a really good college player.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be like an above-average college player, but... There's a lot of above average college players that don't play in the NBA.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just waiting for Andre Kirilenko's kid to come into the NBA because I have a feeling like he'd be really good.
I mean, he is.
Kirilenko has a kid?
He's in the draft this year. He's going to be number one overall pick.
Andre Kirilenko's kid? Cooper Flagg is not Andre Kirilenko's kid. AK-47?
He might as well be.
You kidding me? The guy who just like flippantly said, yeah, my wife gives me one hall pass every year. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He was a different cat.
You think?
He was a different cat.
She might give him one. How many does he take, though?
It's a long list.
Oh, yeah. Well, Paige's kid is doing better at, because he transferred from Stanford to Cal, right? Mm-hmm. Is he doing better there?
Yeah. Yeah, he's better.
He was like a five-star guy coming out.
He was four.
Oh, was he?
He was a fake five-star.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's a guy where I think he's a three-year guy. I think he's a three-year guy in college. And then you because he does have size and he can't shoot the ball.
Oh, yeah, this is year two.
Yeah. So I think he goes back for one more year.
Dang. Heck. Yeah, no, see, NIL help in basketball?
No, I'll just absolutely beat that drum until the cows come home. It's great for basketball. We don't have time for it, but Ross Dellinger had a report here on Michigan fighting the allegations of the Connor Stallion stuff. So we'll get into that tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's a lot of pages.
Of course.
All of the pages.
Mm-hmm.
What did it say? 100 pages?
Nope.
I think.
I'm out on that. I'm going to need me a full day to read that.
It was a lot. 137-page response.
Hot damn.
The lawyers are lawyering.
Yeah.
They're also telling the NCAA to go to hell, which.
Well, I can get on board with that.
This is what I said. They might do.
What?
Some school was going to do it, and it was going to be Michigan.
Well, every school tells the NCAA to go to hell, and then they just hammer them.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I think this is the one that buries the NCAA as it pertains to college football.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to fight this to tooth and nail, and it's going to be like, we don't care.
There's going to be a lot of things that don't. That this is just going to be like, yeah, what do you want us to do, man?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's going to be fun.
But the NCAA didn't really do anything to them.
Well, they're trying, but we'll dive into it tomorrow because we're going to need to spend some time reading this.
All right. Well, hey, Blazers tonight, national television, TNT, taking on the Bucks and Dame Lillard. Hope Dame drops a billion.
It'll be fun.
I do, too. Hope both teams play hard. Everybody have fun. Good night. God bless. All right, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Prime time. That's good. Sook. I see Sook, Buckley, and Ortner, though, for this edition of Prime Time.
Mm.
Have a great Tuesday. See you Wednesday, noon to 3, right here on The Fan.
Mm, bye.
Smiles and glory holds.
We're built for this.